At one point, my cousin, his fish grew so big that he just fed other goldfish to it.
What fish was this?
I don't know.
Piranha?
No, it was like it was like a big ass fish. I don't remember what it was, but he took such good care of it that it lived way longer than it should have. So it grew super big. So he would just drop other goldfish in it, and he just eat the goldfish whole.
Wow.
Oh, goldfish.
Delicious.
Those things last like a week for me.
Hey boys and girls, this is Three Nerds in a Basement, episode 33. I'm your host, Vincent Sanchez, and with me today is...
Oh, TJ.
And Anthony. I mean, a popsicle, so sorry to hear it.
And the other two, would you like to acknowledge your existence? No, we've got Christian Smiling and Melissa chewing on a popsicle.
There you go.
So there's a total of five of us. You'll probably only hear two voices, though. Mine and Anthony's.
TJ's all like, oh, TJ.
Yeah.
Really quiet.
We don't have anything to review this week, so we'll be talking about the recent 3DS price drop and its effect on handheld gaming as
a whole. Oh my god, Nintendo's going out of business!
Right. And then after the credits, stick around, and we will be here to talk about our first game club. Of course, you know it as the Catherine Game Club, days 1 through 3.
Yes.
Let's get started, Anthony. What you been up to?
Like, literally, the day we finished recording, I finished Killzone 3. Recording last week's show.
Okay.
Sorry, I was like speaking in the future tense.
Yes, you were.
And so, that game is not as good as Killzone 2.
Nope.
No, it's not. But the acting is way better than Killzone 2.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
That game's just average. I don't really know what to say much about it. I haven't played any multiplayer, because I heard like everyone's a killer now. Like,
yep.
Just destroying stuff.
Yep.
So I'm like scared to go online. The brutal melee kills when you get really up close to the people are awesome.
Yes,
they are. Half the time I was just running up to dudes. Like I could easily take you with a bullet and it would cause me way less stress, but run up, kick you into the side and club your eyes out. And then the main complaint I have about that game is near the end game, a bullet kills you.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know, there's... They never do a good job of really indicating where enemies are. Even when you get shot, like, the where you get shot from, it's like, oh, if it's right on the side of the screen, it's not precise enough.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's all hellgast color, so they just camouflage into the environment.
Oh, well, that's what you do when you're a part of an army and camouflage. Camouflage into the environment.
But for gameplay purposes...
Oh, come on. We want real immersion.
Okay. Everybody should just be in ghillie suits and we'll be in the jungle. The other thing is... no grenade indicator, really.
Do you have one in real life? Come on.
Yeah, I do. If I'm living in the future, I will make some sort of device that indicates where grenades are.
Uh-huh.
So I was playing on... I don't have, like, sweet surround sound system. So okay. I was like, oh, I think I hear a grenade coming from this way, so I'll run the other way. But really, the grenade was in the other way, and I ran into a grenade.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and that was, like, half my experience. But other than that, game looks great. Story's pretty sweet, but it's kind of whatever.
How'd you find the anti-gravity ending? Or like you're in the where you can moon jump everywhere.
Oh, that was lame.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know I was in anti-gravity for half of it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't jump. I didn't jump for any of that game. And so I threw a grenade, and as soon as I saw it go forever, I was like, oh, it's probably zero gravity.
And then you jumped?
And then I jumped, and I was like, yeah! But the thing is, that's so far to the end of the game, that one bullet kills you. So it's like, everyone shoot me! Ugh! Dead.
Yeah. Well, the ending of that game, it also has the... You're like Star Fox, right?
Yeah, you're in the spaceship.
Yes.
On the on-rail segments. The on-rail segments are fun
in
that game. They have a lot of good ones.
And then the ending, it just happens.
Yeah, the ending is just like, okay, we took you to space through a space elevator that is literally called the space elevator. And I thought that was great. That was probably the best part of the game. But the ending just comes so abruptly. It's like, we stopped it. We stopped the Hellgast.
Yeah.
End. Yeah. And then after the credits, it's like, oh no, maybe you didn't stop all the Hellgast. So sets it up for a Killzone 4, obviously.
Yep.
Because it's a flagship franchise.
All right, so what would you rate it?
2.5 chocks out of 5.
So you're right down the middle.
Right in the middle. Like, it was fun. Wouldn't play it again, but it was a good ride. I think it probably also, like, if I paid for that game, I think I'd be more PO'd, but I borrowed it from Blavin. So
you're all right.
Yeah, so it's okay.
All right, cool. Tell me about some Evo.
Yeah, the main chunk of my weekend is my Super Bowl, which is Evolution Championship Series, the fighting game world tournament.
Yes.
Everybody comes out to Las Vegas.
Yes.
To have some fighting game fun. And this year was crazy. There were the games that were played were BlazBlue, Tekken 6, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I think there was another one.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat 9.
It's not actually called Mortal Kombat 9, is it?
No, but it's the ninth game. It's called Mortal Kombat. It's like a straight up reboot. But every time I watch really good people play any of those games, it's always like, is this game on fast forward? Like, are they just playing way faster than I think they're playing? And especially Mortal Kombat, because I only play it when I go over to my buddy's house who bought it. And it's always like one, two hits, and then we back off. It's like, okay, I punched you. Now what's next? But just watching these people play, it's a lot of Kung Lao's, which is, he's like a really popular character.
Okay.
And he has this dive kick. So they'll do a combo, and then after they finish the combo, they'll jump and do a low dive kick, and he'll slide all the way to the other side of the guy. So as soon as you get up, I'm on the other side, and you have to think about that like really fast. And like if you're not doing 40% combos as your norm, then you might as well not even be there. It's so crazy. The main appeal was Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yes.
A lot of Akuma, Wolverine, someone teams, and a lot of Dark Phoenix.
Really, Akuma, right?
Yeah, Akuma. The main thing with Akuma and Wolverine, they call them the best friends duo, is because Akuma assists his spin kick.
Oh, right.
Can lead into like super damaging combos for Wolverine.
Yeah.
And so what you do really is you call out Akuma assist, and then you do the Wolverine's teleport slash, and then right after teleport slash, you can press down two attacks, and you go into Berserker Rage or whatever it's called. And it makes your move instantly safe. Mm-hmm. And if by any chance you hit him with the Berserker Slash, you recover so fast that you can go combo him after the Berserker Slash when you're not supposed, like, not able to normally.
Sounds really technical.
It's not at all. You press back fireball and hard punch, and then press down two attack buttons, and that's it.
Ah.
It's super simple. And there were, the finals were this, the showing of, like, a ton of upsets, too.
Mm-hmm.
The one really good one, Tronbon. Someone landed a level 3 grab on a Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
Which is nearly impossible. Took her out and then came back to reset the series. It was like match point. If he lost, he would have been out of the tournament. But he reset the series because he was in loser's bracket. And then the other one, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. The guy who everyone loves to go for, Daigo.
Yeah, everybody knows Daigo.
He didn't even make top 3. He got taken out. I think he came in, like, fifth or fourth or something.
His time has come.
Yeah, basically. This guy, Latif, he works for...
is he that singer? That R&B singer, Latif?
Is there an R&B singer, Latif?
TJ knows what I'm talking about.
I don't even know. Sure, maybe. I doubt it. But he works for this clothing company, Broken Tear. They just make fighting game shirts. It's like where I bought this Tiger shirt.
Okay.
He just came out of nowhere. He wasn't really in last year's Evo. And this year, he just took out all the top guys.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a Korean Seth by the name of Poonko. Poongko.
Yeah.
He perfected Daigo.
Wow.
Like, straight up. Like, and it was also funny because he's, like, huge showmanship, too.
Yeah.
Before the match started, he takes his jacket off, whips it into the crowd, takes his belt off, throws it onto the floor, drinks an energy drink, chucks that into the crowd, starts playing, and then perfects Daigo.
Wow.
It was...
sounds like a Popeye moment.
It was crazy. The camera that is showing the players, every time an upset happened and they showed the players' reactions, the camera was vibrating because everybody on that floor was jumping up and down, screaming.
Crazy.
I think, there's over 10,000 people there.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, there's tons of people. It's become really big now.
G4
covers it, G4 Tech TV.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. What else covers it? There are a bunch of new sponsors, like big name, like THQ sponsored it. Atlas sponsored.
Yeah.
Capcom came out, showed a bunch of their new games, so like early builds Street Fighter X Tekken, Soul Calibur 5, Tekken Tag Tournament 2.
Yeah.
Street Fighter Third Strike, the new
arcade, the online edition
that's coming out. And yeah, it really makes me want to go next year, which is kind of weird, like or sad, I guess, because the only reason I want to go to Las Vegas is a fighting game tournament.
It's kind of sad, but
oh, and the Pinball Hall of Fame.
I'll give you the Pinball Hall of Fame. I've always heard that's pretty cool.
I did put up all the links and streams you needed in a post when Evo happened.
That's right. You did
so
that.
If you watched it, you know like all the crazy moments that went on. And
it should be the post before this podcast.
Yeah. It was, I watched it from when I woke up, like when it started about 10 o'clock till 3 a.m. when it ended.
Wow.
So a.m. to a.m. just constantly streaming.
Wow.
And even like the on the finals, my mm-hmm. friends invited me to go over to their house, brought my laptop, watched top 8 of Marvel.
Jeez.
I couldn't miss it, man. And then whenever I wasn't, like, I had to go to the bathrooms, like, I have Evo on Twitter.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like someone took a series, so I don't miss out. Just gotta know.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That tournament was so good.
Oh, it sounds like you had a good time watching it.
Yeah, I did.
Is that been your week?
Yeah, that's it. I just want to watch it again.
Wait till next
year.
I'm going
to go back in time. I want to buy the DVD that comes out. They was
Are you serious?
They release a DVD every year of
Evo. Is it like highlights or like the full coverage?
The full coverage.
Wow.
It's like five-disc series and
Damn,
stuff.
Damn.
It's awesome. And that's been my week.
That's good. It's good to hear. But it's crazy what you watch that much. That's amazing. Okay, so for me, I don't really have that much to talk about. So I'm going to start with an iPhone game. I've been playing this game by, I think it's by Taito, Groove Coaster.
Christian, did you buy that?
Groove Coaster is basically a rhythm action game. Nothing too different from like Guitar Hero or whatever. It's more like if you ever played Tap Tap Revenge on an iPhone or iPod Touch, you know what it is. Okay. Only instead of three tracks, there's one track that comes down.
Okay.
And you can tap anywhere on the screen to the beat of the song, whatever. The reason it's called Groove Coaster is because the track is in three-dimensional space and it goes around in three-dimensional space as if it were a roller coaster track, and then the camera pans around and does a lot of weird things.
Sounding like Audio Surf.
Sort of. Only Audio Surf, you're always from the, like, going forward from the back of the track, right?
Yeah.
The camera goes anywhere around that track.
Oh, okay.
So, like, because of that, certain angles, it'll distort, like, what you think, when you think the button's time to press.
Mm.
And I think it's a fun game for a dollar. It's,
Can you use your own tracks? Like, your own music?
I think Tears told me that you can make your own track, like the first one, depending on how many friends you have or something.
Yeah, I never really understood that.
Yeah, like the more friends you have with the game, like the more a customized track you'll end up building. You don't actually build it yourself, it's the game builds it for you.
Yeah.
Depending on your friends and their current levels and stuff.
That's weird.
Yeah. But it's a really fun game. Definitely try it out. It's only a dollar. The other thing I've been doing is just catching up on Transformers Prime. The cartoon series on the Hub. The reason I want to bring this back up, the last time I talked about it was, I think, our first episode or second episode we ever recorded.
Okay.
I talked about the 5-part series, and if you watched that and you thought, the show kind of, it's all right. The show's really changed from then. The overall story itself is pretty good. It's not, like, completely amazing, but for a kid's show, it's pretty awesome, but it's the character interactions that keep me coming back. Like, they're really, really well developed, these characters now, and you're starting to see, like, who has conflicts with what and what their certain issues are. It still suffers from the main problem of, because this is a kid's show, they have to throw in human characters
mm-hmm.
so that little boys and girls have someone to look up to, or someone that they
can't look up to Megatron?
No, but you could look to be the boy who plays with Optimus.
I guess.
Recently, they added another character, and it's one of the children's mothers, and she's pretty hilarious. She's the regular motherly character.
Oh, okay. You shouldn't go out fighting robots in only a t-shirt.
Pretty much. Pretty much that's what she's like.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty much what she's like. Two awesome things about it is, if you remember Firefly, you guys know my favorite show. Two actors from that, Adam Baldwin, he played Jane, the big muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe, the black right hand, like she was the black girl, the right hand to Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
They're both characters on this show.
Didn't they also get the original voices
for Megatron and Optimus?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell the truth though, Optimus, whatever. He sounds too much like movie Optimus, and I'm not really.
Oh.
I'm kind of sick of that Optimus.
You're kind of waiting for him to rip out a robot spine.
Yeah. To tell you the truth, I'm just waiting because it seems like RC's the main character, and I'm just waiting for her to take lead of the Autobots.
Okay.
But yeah, so those
female commander.
Yeah, so those two Firefly actors are in it, and they're both Decepticons, and it's fun to hear their voices.
Is it more fun than hearing The Rock as a Transformer?
I think so, yeah, because I like Firefly a lot more than I do like The Rock on his own.
I guess. I want to see The Rock voice a Transformer, and then his Transformer Rock Bottoms another Transformer.
Well, he was the cliff jumper at the beginning of the series, and then he got killed.
Gives him people's elbow.
He got killed by Starscream, and what else about the show that I want to talk about was, oh, the action is over-the-top bananas. Like, for CG, it is insane. If you remember watching Beast Wars and being like, yeah, this action is pretty all right for its time.
Yeah.
This is almost, like, I'm not going to say it's, like, movie, theatrical-level type performances, but it's incredible for a weekly TV show.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because it's still 3D animation. And I believe by the time this episode comes out, it's going to be the season finale. And the big thing about the season finale they revealed at Comic-Con is that it's going to be all about Unicron. the big planet-sized Transformer, and he's going to end off the series until, I believe, sometime in the winter when it comes back. So I definitely recommend that for people to watch. Other than that, I think that's it for my week. Like, I don't really have anything else to talk about. Just been playing more online F1, trying to get my rank up.
You're just still smoking fools?
Still smoking fools.
Like, everyone just crashes first corner?
Yeah, like, I find, like, there'd be, like, one or two people who can hold a candle to me for about maybe, like, 10 seconds. And then they try to outbrake me on a corner, and I just break early. And they just run into the corner. And I undercut them and go back, and I'm like, alright, see you later, buddy. This race is mine.
Would suck.
Yeah. So, that's the thing. Like, people always think, like, you have to be aggressive to win the race, but you don't. You just gotta be...
It's not burnout.
You just gotta be consistent and patient and wait for an opening, but a lot of kids don't know that, so that's F1. Speaking of F1, I'm kind of sad. F1 has gone into their summer break, where they don't have any... They mandate that all teams have to stop working. And so, like, the factories are empty.
No new tech.
No, yeah, they can't develop new parts. The team can't meet up for, like, a team meeting. They force them all on vacation.
What if they want to, like, hang out together at a bar?
They can, as long as it's not F1 related.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, it kind of sucks. For the rest of the summer until September, like, there is no races, and I'm a little bit sad.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Otherwise, nothing's been new with me. That's everything.
TJ?
Would you three others in this room like to bring up anything?
Anything you guys did this week? Anything?
Did a lot of staying at home.
Oh, how was your long weekend?
Oh, I honestly don't remember what I did this long weekend.
Is it because you got so drunk you can't remember?
No, I think it's because I just did the same thing I do every day, so it just...
It blended in?
Wow.
Ooh. I didn't even know there was a long weekend until the Monday.
Oh, until you're like...
I was like, why is everything closed?
And you're like, why is everybody home?
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
But everything wasn't closed.
A couple of things were closed.
The banks?
Yeah.
The thing you didn't really need to
care No, about. I need to go to the bank that day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What the fuck?
That sucks. bad luck, Ben.
The one day you have to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to bring up one more thing about
What's
Evo.
What's up?
I finally have, like, a celebrity obsession.
And?
KO Police. She played... She's, like, some Japanese model. She came and played, like, Tekken and Street Fighter.
Uh-huh.
She's, like, really good. But she's also really hot.
She also the one that's a man?
Yes. And she was a man, but it's over now. So she's going to be my new wife.
But she was actually a man before.
Before. Not anymore.
So she's a transsex... Is that what it is?
I think so. Transgender?
Transvestite?
No, transvestite is when you're still a dude, but you dress as a girl.
I thought those were cross-dressers.
That's how I thought that was.
No, but, like, you believe... You don't have... Like, surgery down there has not been done.
Oh. Hey, if...
Dude, whatever.
If that works for you, then
listen, go Kale for Police it. Listen, is my new wife. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm gonna just say, you know, I look for real women, but, hey.
She is... Look at... You got to watch her.
Whatever, man.
She's so hot.
What?
You don't even know. Don't even know.
All right, after that.
I need to see this person.
All right. I'll show you. It'll be the great.
Well, let's cut to a break, and then when we return, we'll talk about the future of dedicated handheld gaming devices.
Dead.
Or they're alive. All right, so what happened this week? Nintendo announced 3DS.
Nintendo announced they're going bankrupt, going out of business.
So they're dropping 3DS, $80, and...
Wait, they're dropping it by $80?
Yeah, so yeah. It's going to be $169.
Oh, wow. I kind of hope they dropped it to $80.
Dang.
No. In Japan, the equivalent that they dropped it there in yen was $110.
Oh my god.
But of course, it was already, like, I think, equivalent to $300 there.
Oh.
What?
Shit.
Weird.
Yeah, so I don't know. What else? Their president lost $500 million.
In a day. Yeah, in a day, I think.
But I mean, there's stocks. I mean, stocks can go up and down like that.
And so. Then one of the, who was it, Iwata?
Mm. He decided to take a lower...
Yeah, he cut his pay in half.
Yeah. Or like, so they say.
Yeah, so they say.
So they say. He's probably got like a second account there.
Well, what else did they do? I think they sent out like personal notes to everyone who owned it, who like registered.
Yeah.
They mailed them notes.
They're going to give them 20 free GBA. And is it just GBA games?
I have no. I only know that there's so NES far they've also. Only announced 10 games.
It's gonna be 20, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be 20.
Just buy one now, okay? Because there's a drop in the price on the 12th. Future Shop honors a 30-day price check, and then you get your difference.
You get the difference plus free games.
Wow. There, you're good to go. So, I mean, what is this, Anthony? Is this a sign of things to come in the future?
I don't know. I think it's just a sign of 3DS has no games.
Mm. You think so?
Yeah. Because TJ's brother, Mikey, he's like, I bought every game there is. And, like, I think the only two ones that I think I would ever play were Zelda.
Yeah.
And Resident Evil 5.
You like that?
I like the mission. I like that outbreak
thing. I didn't like the 3DS one.
I didn't play it, though. I just saw it there. Oh. So far, I've only played Street Fighter.
You should have played Zelda.
I should have. But I didn't know if he had, like, a copy or like, a save already. So I didn't want to, like...
Yeah, three saves. Go.
Oh, it is?
There's one. Mine.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, some of his brothers.
Oh, I thought it was just, like, a one save thing.
Oh, he started it. I just kept going.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean... I don't know. This is very telling of Nintendo. You think they're gonna drop it again?
I hope so.
I think they won't drop it again until the system becomes quote unquote old.
I see. If anything, I mean, this actually works worse for Sony. I think
it does, because even if they were planning a 2011 release,
yeah.
Which according to Kotaku they're not.
Yeah,
it's 2012 now.
Bad.
Like the. $249 for a handheld compared to a system that's already probably going to be out for a year.
It's probably going to have games by the time.
By then, yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. And is what is it, $149 now?
It's going to be $169.
$169?
Yes.
Like, that's almost $100 cheaper.
Yeah.
And there's also the track record thing. What I actually think screwed over the 3DS is the DS.
You think so?
Because the DS is so widely popular and is... like, constantly on the top of sales charts, or was. But no one needs a new system, because people still make tons of DS games, and there's such a good catalog of games.
That's true.
Maybe, I don't know. I still think it's Apple's who screwed over Nintendo.
Just Apple taking over the handheld market?
Definitely, I mean, 80% of the people in this room all have an iDevice.
That's true.
And we just saw Christian was playing the whole first segment.
Yeah, I'm the only one here with that one.
Right? I mean... At this point,
I'm a businessman. I got a BlackBerry. I got people to call.
Speaking of which, Rim has just had a couple layoffs.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, so, I mean, Rim's going under, too.
Oh, Bill.
But, yeah, no, it's weird. Me and Melissa went to Montreal this weekend, and a lot of the people, or children, I didn't see many DSs or PSPs. What I saw were a lot of iPod Touches. And
which I think is crazy, because iPod Touches are more expensive than the latter.
If you think about it, though, they play music.
Yeah.
Which is why they carry it around.
They do the internet.
And they give you games.
Yeah. And the games, it's not like with the DS. First of all, the DS games, incredibly expensive. I think $30 is still too much for a handheld game, but these 3DS games are $40.
Yeah.
You know, and who knows what the Vita's... I bet you Vita's going to be $60 for a game.
If it's $60 for a game, I'm not buying that.
You see Uncharted? That's going to be $60. I bet you they'll have, like... tiered pricing levels, but they're top end games, all Sony first party big exclusives. $60.
It'll be $60. It'll never go down in price until the next one comes out.
Yeah, until it goes greatest hits. No, oh, it's geez. $60. And I don't know, like with the iPhone or the iPod, I think it's like, you know, parents don't have to go to the store to buy a game. It's like, mommy, I want this one. And it's like, oh, it's only $1. I spent more than that on coffee every day. That's fine for my kid. And, you know, these big games that we're all excited for on the 3DS and the Vita, whatever. Kids nowadays, they don't want that. They're amused with, like, a five-minute game, like Angry Birds or Cut the Rope. Like, they can spend hours doing the same shit over.
They have no attention span.
You know, like, I watched one of Melissa's little cousins play Mario, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. And he was just doing the first level over and over again.
Whoa. Why?
Because he didn't know how to save, and he just kept thinking it was fun to do.
Oh.
You know, and so...
He must be pro.
He's the best at that first level. Again, like, they're children, and it's like, they don't need these big experiences that we're calling for. And since Nintendo's hit this casual audience, I think they're starting to realize, like, what they're doing just doesn't work anymore. I don't know.
I think the iPhone is a big competitor, or like a big threat,
mm-hmm.
for what you just said.
Yeah.
There are still going to be those hardcore markets who want a dedicated handheld device, but it's not going to be like the days of the Game Boy Color and stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the DS and the PSP are going to be like the little niche market. It's not going to be this big, everybody owns one, everybody's playing Brain Age, you know.
Everyone was playing Brain Age at a point.
What it's going to be is like... 100 people in a room, 5 of them have got it, and they're all playing Dragon Quest. That's what it's going to be. And
oh, man. That sounds good.
Like, it's not going to be what we remembered. For us, I think it's good because that's what we want. And I think, you know, that means it's going to lead to less crapware.
We want to alienate possible new customers. That's right. What we want to do.
But then at the same time, because it's going to be, like, such a narrow market, I think prices are only going to go up. Because if they figure, you know what, if we only have to serve one audience now, because Apple's taking over the casual handheld, they're going to feel like, these kids will pay whatever the fuck we say. Yeah.
Well, think of that with, like, niche console games, too. Like,
yeah.
Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2,
yeah.
That game came out at $69.99.
Yeah.
$10 above the norm. Other weird, like, Nippon Ichi Software RPGs, mm-hmm. those things never go down in price.
Nope.
Valkyria Chronicles, that is still $40.
Yeah, yeah. It works out with all Atlas games. But of course, Atlas games, you gotta buy them in the first week.
Yeah, Atlas games are rare.
And then...
So. It's like, we ship these once.
Yeah, and secondary
you market... You don't get them.
Secondary market used, that. They're still expensive.
Catherine sold, apparently, 200,000 on its first week.
That was surprising.
Yeah, that was really
I'm actually
cool.
more surprised that Atlas decided to ship that many copies.
Yeah, I know. That was crazy.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. The handheld market, I think, is gonna be... slowly dwindling away. At 3DS, I don't know, man. If it came out in orange or violet, I think I would buy one.
Do you?
I want it in white.
Yeah, new colors is when people start buying Nintendo consoles.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
That's like their trump card. That's yeah. It's like they're playing me. It's like, shit, sales are down. New colors.
Shit, competition has better games than us. Clear purple. Clear go. Purple. Like, any, name it Nintendo 64 Classic. Go.
Remember when it's cool and you could see the insides of your electronics?
Yeah, we brought it back. Retro style.
Yo, I love that.
I hated that.
The only other Nintendo 64 I wanted was the Pokemon one with the Pikachu on it. Like the blue and yellow one.
Yeah, that came out way too late in the life.
Yeah.
And
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, it came out like right when PS2 launched, so it's like, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah, I want a PS2 now.
Yeah, because it came with Pokemon Snap.
Oh, that game was awesome.
Oh, no, wait.
Hey You Pikachu.
Hey You Pikachu, yeah, the blue one, right. Yeah.
Hey, I've always wanted to play Hey You Pikachu, but everywhere I rented it, they would let you rent the game, but they didn't have the microphone. So you couldn't play the game.
Yeah.
Someone would rent a game that you stared at a Pikachu for. Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
Did you tell them?
Yeah, I told them, and they're like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
They're like, why do you have this? You don't have the microphone.
Yeah.
this is back in the day, though, when, like, corner store rental places were still in business.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Wow. There's a couple of things I want to bring up about handhelds. So I like how everything's cheap on the iPhone.
Yeah, $1 or $2 for a game, but you don't even think about it.
It really has changed my perspective, though. It's kind of like, because usually, you know, I'd be okay with paying $30 for Tactics Ogre on the PSP, but now it's like, that's expensive. That is really goddamn expensive now. And it's led me to, like, skip out on a lot of great handheld titles just because I'm like, it's too much money. Of course, there's still companies like Square who think they could put out like $20 games on their iPhone and think they'll
yeah,
sell gangbusters.
What did you say? It was like Final Fantasy 2 was like $17.
Final Fantasy Tactics was $17.
Same with Final Fantasy 3.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And
it was, okay. Squeenix is crazy.
Square, stop releasing the same old trash. Give me something new.
What I want to ask is, do you think the price drop was only because no one was buying it? Because it's Nintendo. They have enough money. They could have just kept it out there at the same price. Or do you think there was some sort of strategy behind it to take out Sony? Like,
I think that they always originally planned to have it that low, to be honest. And mm-hmm. I always thought that they were going to release in Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason they released it in March is because it was a far enough window away from Vita and that they could price it high enough that the hardcore would buy it no matter what, and they wanted to get that extra cash.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I don't think they're in any sort of trouble. Like, the reason, like, sure, the guy lost a bunch of money on the stocks, but that's expected when you do these kind of decisions.
And I'm pretty sure he has, like, a bunch of billion more dollars
right.
on top of that.
And I don't think it's really a big deal. I just think it was, like, Nintendo knew they could make some extra money, so they went for it. And
it worked out.
Suckers bought... 3DS had way too much money.
Sheeps flew off the cliff.
Yeah,
all together.
But I think, you know, Nintendo, like, they kind of knew this. They're like, listen, we know, like, originally we want to release in Christmas when we have big games out. When we have Mario, we have Mario Kart, Zelda. whatever. Star Fox, Metroid, all Nintendo first party that are going to all be here by Christmas. Release at 170. We're good to go. But I think they're like, well, DS is kind of dwindling down in sales. Let's put it out now. It's super high price. See how many of the hardcore bite.
Yeah, we're only selling 100,000 a month.
Yeah.
Now. Oh, no.
It's still a lot of money to make. It's still a lot of money. So I don't think it's a...
But do you think this is also, it could be maybe a PR mistake if they did want to make that extra cash? It kind of left a bad taste in people's mouths now.
Oh, it definitely did.
Like, do you think people will, I guess, quote-unquote, trust Nintendo again?
I think the hardcore, at this point, they will feel offended, but for the casual people, like the moms, they're not going to care.
They're like, oh, it went down in price. That's
the natural. They're going to look at this as, oh, a price drop. I'm going to buy that for Christmas from a kid.
Yeah. It's really all the people who follow, the news.
That only, will be like, oh, only, fuck. Well, technically only us, like, our demographic, our demographic would be offended. But,
Our target demo.
But, I mean, to tell the truth, it's not like we were interested in the first place, so I don't know why you would be mad.
Yeah, I wasn't remotely interested in the 3DS. I was like, oh, a DS, and it has 3D, I don't want.
Yeah, even if you're, you know, even if you're the person who bought it day one, and I don't think you have the right, you chose to make that choice. You knew there was always a chance of the price drop. The way Nintendo tried to justify it could be questioned, but...
I still think the biggest deal for the hardcore is that there are no games for that system. There are maybe two, bare minimum two games.
Yeah.
Zero.
Zero games? Not even Ocarina of Time working it for you, TJ?
Nah, I've had enough of that.
Ocarina of Time, great game. Just, this is its third release.
Oh yeah, I was on the... GameCube. On the GameCube as well.
Right.
That was like a bonus. That was like a pre-order thing, wasn't it?
I think so.
For Wind Waker.
Wind Waker. It's like, oh, if you pre-ordered Wind Waker, you got this and Majora's Mask.
Which is a better deal.
Yeah, it is. And you get Master Quest right away.
Right.
You don't have to beat the game first.
Exactly.
I never played Master Quest still.
Yeah, but I don't know. I've run out of points to talk about.
Okay, would you guys rather play on a DS or a PSP, or would you rather play on your iPhone?
It depends where I am. Mm-hmm.
Depends how much time I have. Because with the iPhone, I can just pick something up, play for like 5 minutes, and I'm good. Whereas with the DS, I have to like set aside time to play.
Yeah.
Or that, like do use it for like a bus ride.
This is why I haven't finished Raiding Historia. Because like the only time I have time is when I'm at home. When I'm at home, what's here? My TV.
And a console.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think the thing for me is that I really don't have any interest on playing games on my phone. Like there are... There are limited games for a BlackBerry.
It's because you own a BlackBerry.
It's like, and you can play Poker Stars 3, and it's like, I don't want to play that.
The minute you get
but
an
like,
iPhone.
Even when I played, what is it, Tiny Wings on yours, and playing Angry Birds on other people's phones, it's like, I didn't even get through halfway through, like, the first world of Angry Birds, and I was already bored of that game.
Mm.
Or it was too simple. They're just
like,
I'm gonna
shoot
these birds.
But that's the thing. It's like, it's those 5 minute like bursts when you're like waiting in line to order at a McDonald's or you're waiting for the bus, something like that.
Mm-hmm. No, what I'm saying is that I don't want to play those games ever again.
Oh.
Okay.
I am done with those games because it's just going to be more of the same.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, this would be worth a dollar, but like if all the games on a phone are like that, then.
Well, there's a lot of different ones, right? I mean. You can get Ace Attorney on your phone.
Yeah, I could.
You know, you can
get... Or I could get that sweet $20
Final Fantasy 3. Tactics. Final Fantasy 3, Final Fantasy 1, 2.
All right, let's go.
I'm just waiting for the alleged 7 remake on iPhone. That's going to go for $99.
Oh, man.
It's going to even be a remake. It's going to be like it's going to be 2D instead of 3D.
I'd play it in 2D.
I think I would play in 2D.
It'll be an 8-bit remake.
Yeah. I think... No, it'd have to be 16.
32? Yeah, I don't know where else to go with this. The price drop was really surprising. Like, when I heard about it, I was like, what the fuck? Like, this game... This DS has been out for, like, 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, how the hell?
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. I mean, but things happen.
Things do happen. I really don't think they needed to release a new handheld. They could have just kept going on with that DS.
Yeah.
Or they could have done like something... Remember when the N64 was out and they brought out the expansion pack?
Yeah.
That came... They could have done something like that.
No, but then you split the market. And they can't do that.
Their market is the world.
No, they've...
If you split the world, that is still millions of dollars.
they've proved that with the Wii, that you can't throw on an add-on like the Wii Motion Plus and expect everybody to buy it. Everybody who owns a Wii... I bet you only has the regular Wiimote. They don't have the
I'm saying, plus. Like, for that kind of stuff, my opinion is it's the same reason Shadows of the Damned or Trial of Eden didn't sell, is because there is zero marketing for that.
I just think there's
going to be... It was always like, oh, look, Wii Motion Plus comes in this game that no one cares about.
They put Wii Motion Plus, they're going to put in their big Zelda game. They're going to have it in Wii Sports. Oh, they had a Wii Sports Resort. But that doesn't mean you have a guaranteed 100% attach rate to everything.
But if you tell people that, hey, if you... Basically, if you tell people to buy something, they will buy it.
No, they won't.
Come on.
I've told you to buy a lot of shit. Have you bought it?
No. I don't respect your opinion. Okay?
And why should the regular people of this world respect Nintendo?
Because it's on the television.
No.
You would... How much did Duke Nukem Forever sell?
No.
Reviewers across the board told people never to buy that game.
And
it sold gangbusters. Because there was, like, every other commercial was about Duke Nukem.
I don't think so.
People were curious.
I think kids just wanted a shot at Duke Nukem.
They want to see... They want to shoot pig cops.
Exactly. That's what they wanted.
No, they want to know why they waited so long for this game.
Yeah.
Half the kids who bought that game were like, sperm when that game was in development.
They were curious.
They knew. They knew from inside the ball sack.
All right, let's cut this off here. We've gone on long enough in here. And we'll move on to some listener mail.
Yay! Oh, yeah, we have to... Do Catherine after the thing.
Oh, it's clicking.
Oh my god, time. Wow.
Oh, he's got a brain, everybody. The first one is from James Thorburn.
Yay.
His topic is I thought of a question. Oh, that's good.
Did you really?
Hey guys, so while listening to your talk on television shows you have been enjoying this year, it had me wondering, have either of you been watching the fourth season of Torchwood titled Miracle Day? So far, it's been awesome and way better than the last three seasons. If you have, I'm also wondering if you started off really not liking CIA agent Rex, but finding he's starting to grow on you as of the last two episodes, 3 and 4, if you need to know. Anyways, if you haven't, then I suggest checking it out. You can find a stream of it on Space's website.
You mean you can find... Oh, wait, Space's website, so it's legit. Never mind. On ISO Hunt, and then you can download it.
What are you talking about? I don't know what that ISO Hunt is.
What is this newfangled website?
What's downloading?
Also, I totally agree that X-Men First Class was amazing. Only big low point I can think of is January Jones, or Emma Frost, and her acting. Regards, Jim. So, have you guys ever seen Torchwood?
I've never heard of Torchwood.
Have you ever seen Doctor Who?
Yes.
I only seen one episode of Doctor Who.
Wait, the new Doctor Who? Or are they all the same?
No, it's always new Doctors.
Alright, got it. Yes,
I've seen it. The new Doctor Who is technically 2005 and after.
Okay. Yes, I've seen it.
Okay, so there's this one character, I forget his name, kind of reminded me of like some sort of younger Tom Cruise, and he was American. He actually played Tom Cruise, basically. That's what he's like, and he's an interesting character, probably one of my favorite characters in the Doctor Who, and he kind of left the show, and he had his own spinoff called Torchwood. I forget the premise behind Torchwood, it's about all these like conspiracies and stuff, and blah, 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 blah. I've never actually got down to sit and watch it. Just because I've always had other things I want to watch. For example, like I was going to watch it this week, but I'm like, nah, I'm going to watch The Walking Dead instead. So it's on my backlog. I'll probably get to it eventually. Whoa.
Oh god, a phone.
So Torchwood, I don't know.
When he mentioned Torchwood, I thought it was that cowboy show, but I think that's called Deadwood.
That is Deadwood.
So, and then he said CIA agent, and I was like, okay, it's probably not the same show.
But yeah, that's the... Basic is a letter. So sorry we haven't watched Torchwood. And yes, First Class is the best of all the superhero films.
Well, I think X-Men 3 was like way better.
Yeah, it's pretty true to the comic.
Yeah, it is. Blavin would agree.
Blavin would agree.
Yeah, he would. Inside jokes.
Cute. Have you guys heard from Blavin lately?
I have.
And what's he up to?
He had a date.
Ooh.
Okay, wait, with who?
I don't know, some girl.
Obviously.
No. No.
From like... China or one of the schools?
She's from there. Italy.
You actually found an Italian girl?
Yeah.
Is that what he was setting out to do?
I don't know, but I remember he told me a story about how the last class that went, they were joined by like an Italian school and it was just all hot girls.
Wow.
That's usually what comes out of Italy. Hot girls.
Oh, it's too bad Blavin can't use the internet there.
But,
well, he can. Well, he just can't go on Facebook, YouTube.
How did you talk to him then?
He just can't do the pics. All the good stuff. Skype? Talk to him? MSN?
We should just, like, flood his Facebook wall. And when he comes back, it's, like, 900 new notifications.
I think I'm just going to write the alphabet.
A, B, C. Yeah. I'll do it, too.
I'll just write the date that I posted and the time.
Oh, we should make, like, a macro to do that, like, every minute it posts on his Facebook wall for a month.
Oh, 1,000 notifications. All right, next letter's from Albert.
Yay!
Right, hello nerds, just wondering how close you guys were before doing the podcast, and if doing this podcast has brought you closer together. On the show, it seems like you guys have been really close friends for a long time. That's because we're great actors.
We're the best actors.
Also, over here in Calgary, we have a yearly carnival that lasts for about a week called Calgary Stampede.
I've heard of that.
Do you guys have anything like that over there in Ontario? Do you guys attend it every year? And thanks everybody for the advice on my girlfriend's birthday gift. Yesterday was her birthday. Needless to say, everything went great.
I want details, Albert.
Yeah, dude. We want to know how it went down.
How did it go down?
How did it start? How it went down? How did it finish? And what was, like, the next morning?
Wait, what did you suggest?
I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
Damn it.
Yeah, you're going to have to listen to a podcast.
You think we pay attention to what we say on the show?
Yes.
I listen to the show minimum twice every time we record, and I don't know what the hell we talk about.
All right.
Whenever it goes up, I just skip through it to see if the audio is fine.
Yeah. So, I forget what he asked us. Oh, have we been close friends before doing this podcast?
No. Well, me and Vince and Blavin weren't.
Yes.
Who are the three main people of the podcast?
Well, me and Blavin were pretty, I would say we're super close.
You have, like, childhood stories of you guys always hanging out playing Super Robot World.
Like, high school.
That's childhood. Okay, yeah, I guess we're as close as you could be in high school.
Without basically, like, being gay for each other.
Without coming into contact where other people could see us. Okay. That's how I would put it to Blavin, and he would understand.
Okay. No, I understand, because you were a gangsta persona, and you wanted to ditch all your friends.
Yeah, great. Yeah,
there we go.
were you close friends with Blavin before the podcast?
No. Like, I met him through Christian,
right?
And I would hang out with him when Christian was hanging out with him. Mm. That was about it.
Yeah.
And then you're all like, I want to do a podcast. And I was like, sure, baby. I'll do it with you. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think I only met you, like, once or twice before we did this podcast.
Yep.
Believe that, right?
Oh, my God.
People were like, what? Mind blown.
Yeah, I was just like, hey, you want to do this?
Sure.
I was like, this will be my only chance to get on a podcast. Because none of my other... I've said the idea to other friends.
None of my real friends wanted to do it.
Yeah. None of my new friends. I'll show them.
I have to lease a new friend.
I have to lease a new friend? I'm paying you by the month to be my friend.
Yeah. And then Blavin was like, I'm going to be on it too.
And then that's how Three Babies in a Basement came to be.
And so the second part, has it brought us closer? What do you think, Anthony?
I don't know. Actually, considering that we weren't friends beforehand, and we still aren't, I'm going to say no.
Because you're the outsider on this one, have we become closer?
Yeah. Last week you let me stay in your house and play your games, so I'll assume we've become closer.
Oh, is that directed towards me?
Yeah, I said, seeing as you're the outsider who's always in the room with the three of us.
Oh, I thought you meant outsider from beforehand, because I didn't know you guys before the podcast.
Oh. Whatever.
I'm going to say, kind of. you guys spend more time with each other, I guess.
But the actual friendship hasn't quite happened.
This is like a really dysfunctional relationship. It's like, yeah, she's my girlfriend, but
on paper, yeah.
We only really see each other like once a week.
Yeah.
And that's only because of the podcast.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, it is.
There are other times when we hang out. But
never
again,
take me out for dinner.
Again, for the podcast, it's like, we've got to watch this movie. For the podcast.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, that's usually because we're like, we have no ideas ever. So anything we do can be the podcast.
Yeah, and then of course, there's the, let's go to dinner. For the podcast.
Wait, what?
Yeah, okay.
So does that mean
I think that was just, we're just hanging out.
Yeah.
It's not like we're reviewing restaurants.
Right. Let's move on to the second part of the letter. Calgary Stampede. You guys know what the Calgary Stampede is?
I've never heard of
it. Isn't that a CFL team?
Also.
It is also a CFL team?
Yes, but he's talking about the festival.
Yeah.
Do they celebrate the CFL team?
I have no idea. What's the Calgary Stampede?
For a week?
I don't know. It's
supposed to be. Fuck, man. They love football, I guess. I don't know.
Oh.
So they love three downs.
I guess.
So we'll call it the football festival, where for a week people are just...
They're just tailgating in any parking lot they can find.
Without a game to watch?
Without a game. They tape games and they put it on a TV.
I just pictured it running with the Bulls in Calgary for a week. What
Bulls? If you like running with the horses.
The bison?
No, what kind of bulls are you going to find in Calgary?
Cows? I don't know.
Running with the pigs.
We just let a bunch of the horses go.
Yeah, I don't think we'll run them up later. Do we have any of those festivals here in Ontario?
There's a festival of friends, but that's for like a weekend.
Yeah, we have a lot of like little like 3-day stints.
Yeah,
like a
gay pride parade once every year.
What was that thing that was in Toronto just a couple of weeks ago?
Carabana?
Oh, Carabana.
What the hell's Carabana?
I was trying to figure that out.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what Carabana.
Melissa, what's Carabana?
No.
It's like a celebration of all like the Caribbean like places, so, like. I don't know, like Guyana, Trinidad,
I've only heard good
Jamaica.
Things.
A lot of steel fans.
Like, yeah, basically. And they like march down, like dance and stuff, and they dress up in costume. And it's like a huge party down the street.
I've never heard of this in my life.
Really?
It's fun.
At all?
Nope, just now.
I'm missing out.
Apparently.
Wow. I don't know.
Yeah, Ontario's boring.
Ontario's a lot of, I'm sure there's a ton of like, festivals and stuff that we don't know about.
You don't know.
Yeah.
There's too many to keep track of, man.
Like, the biggest one I know of happened this past weekend.
There was Gay Pride.
I already said that.
Yeah
that's like for a week.
Yeah, there's
also... Is it for a week? Really? I thought it was like a weekend.
Yeah,
I thought they were just getting their gay on for a weekend.
Yeah. This past weekend was TFCon. That's a big festival.
We should all go to TFCon next year.
There's a Ribs Fest.
Anime now. North every year.
Did you say Rib Fest?
Yeah, that's like a
Rib Fest
festival.
Is awesome.
Yeah, and then there's Sausage Fest too.
Oh my gosh.
Sausage Fest.
Edge Fest.
That's an unfortunate name.
There's a ton of stuff that goes down here.
They should have just called it like Frankwurst Fest.
No, Sausage Fest sounds a lot funnier.
I don't know if this counts, but the Toronto International Film Festival's in Toronto. That counts. Yeah. I don't know if that's a celebration of anything, but a lot of indie films.
They have a lot of big stars show up to that, too.
Yeah.
What else? Be a celebration.
What else is here? There's a lot of little anime conventions.
Yeah.
There's like a couple in Guelph. There's one in Burlington yesterday. Or not yesterday, last weekend.
Do we still have that Aquafest?
The Hamilton Aquafest?
We still have that?
Yeah. At the Bayfront?
Wow.
I don't know what
Aquafest is?
Maybe I remember going to some sort of gathering at the Bayfront, but I don't remember if it was Aquafest.
Was there a carnival there?
No. I don't.
And you weren't.
There were a bunch of stands and people serving like the frozen ice, like not the flavored ice cone things.
Like a snow cone?
Snow cone. That's it. That's the one.
The flavored ice cone. I want myself some flavored ice cones.
That's what I want. I want a flavored ice cone.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of fests around here in Ontario. That's what we'll take from
that. It's not like a big one. It's just a lot of small ones.
I don't think we have one as big as the Calgary Stampede, even though we don't know what that means. So. But, I mean, it's a week long. It must be impressive and important.
Man, they love the CFL.
Yeah.
Three downs. Yeah. Fuck four downs, basically.
All right, so we're almost at now here, so I think this is a good place to end the show. Remember... This is the premature ending. The real ending is after the break. But if you do not want to stick around for our Catherine Game Club, then this is where we're going to barrage you with...
Spoilers ahead.
With things to do, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, write into us at tniab.letters@gmail.com.
Check out the stream site, typev3.podbean.com.
Right, follow Anthony on Twitter, Kill Roy Can't Kill, and...
Follow Vince on Twitter, Vince on Sanchez, Dirty Sanchez.
Oh, you don't know my Twitter name.
It's Vincent Sanchez.
No, it's not.
What? Where's my phone?
But that's basically the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed this...
Twitter.
Whatever this was.
Hold on, profile. Followers.
It was an episode.
Yeah. Next week, look forward to a review of either Cowboys and Aliens or the new show Thundercats.
The hell are you?
So if you don't want any spoilers for any of those two, make sure to watch
all your beliefs. I gotta keep going down.
And then, yeah, so thank you for listening. After the break, if you're sticking around for Catherine Game Club number one, then we'll see
you
there.
Come on, loading. Hold on, I'm finding this.
What are you doing?
Vince Sanchez.
Oh, you figured it out.
Basically the same thing. I'm just missing it like an edit.
Forever.
I know. Jesus.
I don't have a data plan on that phone.
All right, say goodbye to everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
Next time.
Next time. That was the gayest intro I've ever heard in my life.
And yet you loved it. So, welcome to Game Club number one. Talking about the game, Catherine, days 1 through 3, nights included. So, who's with me for the Catherine Game Club?
Anthony again.
Me.
What are you? Who is
the
you?
The sultry sweet voice of...
Of someone.
They'll figure it out.
DJ.
It's TJ.
And myself, TJ. Vince, along with Mulsa and...
Christian didn't play. Did you play Catherine yet?
No, but I love Catherine, so go on.
That's great. That's great. So enthusiastic. Catherine, as you know, is the game about a man.
About a man named Catherine.
But no, a man named Vince, who has a girlfriend named Catherine, and finds himself cheating on her with another girl named Catherine.
I love that part when he figures out both their names are Catherine. He's like, what the fuck, really? God damn it.
So, before we start, we should, I think, just list a couple things. First of all, I am playing with Mulsa as a pair of playing on easy, and because I don't like puzzle games, she does all the boss missions for me.
Wow.
Awesome.
Way to lose your masculinity.
TJ, what are you playing on?
Oh, I'm playing on normal. I got to level 4.
You're gonna restart?
Decided to restart on easy. Because, I don't know, either I'm stupid or it's just ridiculously hard.
Alright, Anthony?
I'm playing on normal, and I'm going to continue to play on normal.
Yes.
Unlike some people.
Yeah, some people.
Alright, so...
One person.
So, I have a terrible memory, so I forget how this game kicks off. You're in
the bar. It's like something sheep. Didn't it start off in the bar?
Oh, I thought it started off with a puzzle.
Oh, yeah, the tutorial puzzle.
Yeah, it started off in the Nightmare World.
Wait, before that, let's start off with the golden treehouse?
Golden playground?
Playground, that scene, like, what was that?
I don't know what that was. That was really weird.
Yeah.
It was like some, like, think of like a movie intro.
That's what it reminded me of.
But it was just so, a bit too long and a bit too random.
Maybe it was just
the You know intro. What? This is what I'm gonna put this to. The game's Japanese.
I hate that excuse, but it works.
But it works. It works so well.
Yeah, alright. So, game starts off, basic tutorial, and you find yourself trying to figure out this puzzle, climbing some blocks.
You're naked with
naked,
a pillow.
And you got a pillow, and
you got some horns. Underwear.
Some horns.
Yeah, horns and underwear.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple stage, and it makes you believe that Catherine could be an enjoyable puzzle experience.
Which it is.
Until you get to level 4.
Yeah. So, you get through that, right? You guys have any trouble with that tutorial stage?
No.
I'm
no.
sure you didn't.
No. It's tutorial stage. Tells right. you what to do exactly.
Right. Okay. So, you wake up, right, after that?
Yes.
I think
you... Do you wake up?
I thought it showed, like, it was like a clip show.
Oh.
After it.
For some reason, I thought he woke up and he was just in the restaurant with Catherine.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, he was.
He was.
He was blanking out.
He was in the restaurant.
What was that? It's called the Chrono Rabbit.
Right. And she,
every time you go to a new scene, under the time, it says where you are.
Oh, okay.
And the restaurant, it's called the Chrono Rabbit.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And so she spills beans. She's like, listen, how long we've been together?
He's unsure. He's like, oh, how long have we been together?
Yeah. Basically, she's nagging at him to get married.
Yeah.
Yep.
All her friends are getting married.
They got
kids. They're like early 30s. She thinks it's the time, but Vince wants to keep things the way they are.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
After that, you go to the bar.
Yeah, and he's talking to his friends.
Can't the bar. Their names. Did you get to walk around the bar in the first bar scene or no?
No, you don't.
Okay.
You don't. You just get to answer the phone.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Okay.
Right. And that bar scene, you can't really do much there apart from answering your phone. But answering your phone is a pretty cool sequence.
I really like that part of the
scene. So when you get a text message from Catherine regarding your meeting today with her. You can choose how to reply. You can't actually choose the words you want, but they give you a list of options, each line. Mm-hmm. And they vary from good, medium, or just absolute hate.
Yeah, it's always like super good, way middle, or super terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like how each text has multiple lines, and each line has multiple options.
Yeah.
So you can
yes,
make it how you want it to sound. If you do, right, you don't want it to sound too nice, but you can kind of like put, yeah, a hint of niceness in there.
Yeah, and then, you know, depending on what you choose for your first line, it'll change your options for the next two.
Will it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it'll definitely change your options for the next two.
Yeah, there's a lot for some of them.
Yeah.
Ooh, sweet.
Because I accidentally made a mistake, and I'm like, oh, I gotta go back at it. That's not right. And I'm like, oh, shit, that option's not there anymore. And it's like, oh, I chose something different.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool to see that kind of stuff. So, did you guys be nice to her on that text message?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. I was nice.
Yeah. I go through and just be a jerk this time, though.
I was just, yeah, I just said, hey, whatever, I'm out drinking, mm-hmm, doing, mm-hmm, stuff.
Yeah, so you can't really, you don't really have any sort of interaction in this bar scene. And you go home, and suddenly you're Area 2 in the underground, or in the nightmare world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You do the puzzle, and this is probably your first real taste of what Catherine has to offer. Am I correct? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's finally, there's like a few more tutorials on the, like, how to use items within the world and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then it just lets you go. It's like, yeah, here is a tower. Climb this tower.
Right. And the tower, they explain, has 8 floors, I believe. They say 8 floors. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're each different. This tower reminds me a lot like the Dark Tower from Persona 3.
Tartarus? I was, yeah, going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah, I was like, this...
Did they just take the top half of Tartarus and, yeah, put it in?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Granted, by the same team, so I can't really be mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of lazy. And I believe in Area 2, your first boss battle.
Well, first off, before the boss battle, before we get to the end of this, what did you guys think of the first couple puzzles? Like, the first two?
I found that the puzzles themselves were pretty enjoyable. Like, I thought I was going to hate it, because, mm-hmm, I don't like puzzle games. But I thought it was really fun. I liked the mechanics. I liked all the little different tricks you could pull. Mm-hmm. I like...
using the edge system.
Yes.
Which, in this game, how it works is that you move blocks around. Mm-hmm. And as long as edges are touching, mm-hmm, on a block, it'll stay in place, even if there's nothing under it.
Sort of. If there's, like, two blocks...
The edge has to be touching the bottom.
Right. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was, like, suspended gravity anyway. And I was like, why are these blocks falling? There's still edges touching.
Yeah, it has to be... Like, the top block has to be... The bottom part has to be on an edge of a lower block.
Yes. So that... It still holds some sense of gravity and physics, mm-hmm, but... Yeah, I didn't realize that, so... That's a welcome sight. The puzzles themselves aren't actually... ridiculously hard or anything.
Yeah, so far for me as well.
The time limit on the regular challenges are, I think, are right. They're just right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't feel like they're too drawn out or too short. My biggest issue is the controls in this game.
Yes.
They are just not the precise controls I was looking for. In a puzzle game, what, like Pac-Man or Tetris, what you want are precise controls. And this game, when I press right, it feels like there's a hint of a lag in him moving.
Well, I think it's because there is. If it's one press, if you're standing on a block,
yeah,
it's, if you want to turn around and go the other way, it's one press to turn around and then another press to go up.
Yeah, I guess no, but I feel like the time it takes me to push a button to see the character move.
Yeah, that too.
Like, I feel like I have that kill zone lag, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I feel like I have that. I don't like how, if you're hanging off the edge of a block, like on the right side of a block, to climb it, you have to press up as opposed to
right.
What?
Left. What?
I thought you were hanging on the right side of the block. Oh,
yeah.
Left.
Yeah. I want to press... My mind tells me press left to climb it up.
Yeah.
Oh, when you're already hanging.
Yeah.
Okay.
My mind says press left and you'll climb, but what you have to do is press up. And it took me a long time to wrap that concept around my head.
Yeah, okay. That part where you press up is only when you're already hanging on a block.
Yeah.
If you're standing and you're going up steps, you just hold to the left and you'll start.
Yeah.
I pointed right when I said left.
Yeah.
You go to the left. And you just walk up the stairs.
I saw that as left, don't worry. Yeah. But that's how I feel about the mechanics. What about you guys? You guys disagree, agree?
It took me a while to get used to.
Yeah.
But the controls so far aren't anything I really despise. Like, is making me not enjoy the game.
Mm-hmm.
During the beginning, there were a bunch of moments. Like you said, getting used to the having to press up while hanging to get on top of a block. Many a time I was just hanging on the side and I'll press right to go up.
He goes
and
around.
I go behind it, but then I'm already in the motion that I'm gonna get up to the next one. So I press X and I fall to my death.
Yes.
I do that too.
Yes.
Yeah. So That's really annoying at the beginning.
And there'll be some sequences when you go behind the block, you can't see your character.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll also be able to go down the other side of the block and mm-hmm. still can't see him, and you'll be like, oh, fuck, where am I now? And you might as well die.
Also, the one thing about this game is that you can make yourself permanently stuck.
Yes.
If you make enough mistakes, there will be a point where you can never go up from where you are.
Yes. It's not like Bejeweled, where there's always going to be a block mm-hmm. or a set of three to match. You'll fuck yourself over in this game.
Yeah, so if you don't, if you're not careful with where you're going, or if you're just dropping blocks like a madman, you're eventually going to make yourself stuck.
Yeah. Okay, so then we move on to the first boss battle.
Okay.
Right, and this is where Catherine really sets his foot down and tells you what this game's really about. How'd you guys do in that boss battle?
Inner Demons.
I did pretty well.
I played that boss battle in the demo.
Yeah.
So, was that the demo?
Yeah, that was the fork boss. Yeah. It seems like every boss has a special ability.
Yes.
So if you're too low, they'll just kill you with whatever they are. But also, this one, she has like a fork, and she'll scrape across the tower and make all the like a bunch of blocks above you for a certain height, heavy blocks,
right,
which take much longer to pull out, and it gives her more time to catch up to you. Mm-hmm. But with this boss battle, I really had no problem because, again, I played it in the demo.
Yeah.
So I knew what to do already.
Yeah, same. Same here. Like, however, from when I played it in the demo, there was a clear difference between the difficulty of a boss battle and a regular puzzle.
Yeah. The boss battles rush you.
With the regular puzzle, you said the rate at which the blocks behind you fall is very good. It leaves you, if you make a mistake, you can drop down. Go back up. It leaves you enough time. But with boss battles, I feel they make, no matter how fast you're going, they always make the boss just like an inch behind you to add that tension.
Yes. But and if you're thinking, I'm just going to move slower, it's not going to work out because the boss will still rush you.
Yeah. It'll be like, oh, you're standing still too long.
Yeah. And it really tells, like, you got to know everything in sequence. You can't make a mistake. Because the minute you fall, like, two rows, you're done.
Yeah. Unless you get really lucky.
Yeah. But,
What did you guys think of the... Also, in between each stage, you make it to the... Like, a bell or whatever.
Mm.
And you go to, basically, a sanctuary.
Yeah.
Where there's other...
A bunch of other sheep.
At this point, you really kind of don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of sheep also wondering why they're here.
Mm-hmm.
You hear rumors of, people dying. Like, if they don't climb... Like, they've heard about these kind of dreams before. If you don't make it to the top, or if you don't make it out, if you fall, you'll die in real life. What else? Also, there is the confessional booth.
Yeah. Well, confessional booth is my favorite.
I really like that.
It's really good. To advance to the next tower in that floor, you go into this confessional booth, and they ask you some personal questions, I guess. Like, so far they haven't been too personal.
Yeah.
But, they ask you almost like relationship questions.
Yeah, so what was the first question they asked you?
The first question they asked me was... oh, crap. I can't remember if it was the first or second.
So, I know what mine was.
What was yours?
Mine was, is marriage the beginning or end of life?
That was the first one for me as well.
And what did you guys choose?
I put the beginning.
So did I.
I put the beginning too, but I don't really agree with either answer.
Yeah, because afterwards I thought about it and I was like,
yeah,
it's kind of the end.
And what I've thought about it is, like, a lot of these questions, the right answer you want to choose is the one that's not there. It's the one
It's
that gray area.
But it is interesting to see what most people pick.
Mm-hmm, because after you choose the question, it gathers all the other answers from people who've played it on your respective system.
Yeah.
And puts into a pie graph.
Yeah.
And seeing what other people pick is sometimes pretty cool.
Yeah. For that marriage question, when I played it, a lot more people put the end.
Really?
Yeah.
For me, a lot more people put the beginning.
Same.
I guess I have that extra day on you guys.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so. But that was pretty cool. After that, you go into, I believe, day two?
Yes.
And I can't remember what happens. Oh, okay. So you wake up, or your character wakes up.
Oh, and you wake up beside Catherine. Oh, wait. It's another Catherine.
It's the blonde bombshell.
Yeah.
She is in your bed, and naked. She is naked. And you assume you guys have done the dirty.
Yeah, he's got, like, the super wide-mouth anime face. Like, fuck, what did I do?
Yeah. And you can't remember.
Also, during this cutscene, you've already had some like good or bad points on your meter.
Yeah.
This is the start of where, depending on which side of the bar you are, you can either be evil boyfriend or good boyfriend. Those cutscenes will play out differently in what he says.
Really? That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So what happens is, during the points that will that meter will affect what you say,
yeah,
the meter shows up in the cutscene, mm-hmm. and then whichever side, that angel shows up above it. So this is like, oh, this is the good version of this.
Yeah.
And I don't really know if it gets into like good, super good,
yeah.
or if it's just like neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah. So far, all my cutscenes have been the good.
So have mine. My character's all been like, doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't want to tell Catherine with a K.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants Catherine with a C to kind of leave. But there is that sort of like lingering feeling you can see in him. He's like, but I kind of like this.
Yeah. There is that one. After he tells all of his friends at the bar that he's been cheating,
yeah.
there is the one scene with his older friend who has like the fedora hat
yeah.
in the sushi bar.
Oh, yeah.
And the friend asks Vince, he's like, hey, why don't you set her up? And then Vince is like, no, she's not your type. The friend says, oh, how do you know? And then Vince replies with, oh, because she's my type. Yeah. And he's like, oh, shit, what'd I just say?
Yeah.
And so he's kind of... he's still conflicted between the two girls.
Yeah, definitely.
Like they both offer something different. It's Catherine with a K, been there forever. Like mm-hmm. they've been with each other for so long.
Yeah.
But then Catherine with a C is someone who kind of agrees with all his ideals.
Mm-hmm.
She's someone new.
Mm-hmm.
She's fresh. She's exciting.
Yeah. But then you're in the bar scene at the end of the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
After you sort of come to terms with, okay, you've slept with some random chick.
Yeah.
And you're at the bar scene, and now the real game kind of happens. And you get texts from both girls.
At the same time.
So Catherine with the K, your girlfriend. She's like, oh, what's up? You've been acting distant. What's going on? And it's like, you can reply however you want. I replied with the whole, like, you know, I just need to be emotionally ready, whatever, for marriage. Whatever.
Yeah, same.
But Catherine the C, she texts you, and she says, hello, is this Vincent? If yes, I have a photo to show you. And what did you guys reply to this? Because I said, with my reply, I didn't acknowledge who it was. I just said, who is this? What do you want from me?
And oh, she wow, and cold
she,
shoulder.
And she never texted back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dude.
I put down, I acknowledged that it was me. I said, hey, it's Vincent. Because I didn't just want to blow her off.
Yeah.
Because of what happened. But then I said, I didn't really, there was one option that picks now, oh my god. I put the in the middle one.
Yeah.
I put not the one that says don't send me anything, but I just put the one that's like, hey, what's up? What do you want?
Yeah.
And then TJ.
I acknowledged it was me, and I asked for the picture.
And to be specific, the way that they write this message is in lead speak. So it says, picks now, please.
PIXNAO. PLZ,
yeah.
All caps with like 5 exclamation points at the end.
And yep. So, did she send you a picture?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
She keeps sending me stuff.
What picture did you get?
Picture of her lips.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I also got the picture of her lips.
Okay.
What did you get? No, you didn't get one.
I didn't
that
get
day.
One.
Okay.
I didn't get one.
Also, the one thing I really like about that is if you try to look at the picture within the bar,
oh, yeah.
he's like, shit, I can't look at this in public. So you have to go to the bathroom of the bar and look at it there. I thought that was a really nice touch.
Yeah, that's really cool. Also in the bar, you can talk to different people throughout the course of the night.
Mm-hmm.
They all have their own problems. And you find out that in the nightmare world, you only see yourself and a bunch of sheep mm-hmm. around you.
Yeah.
But each of those sheep are actual other men. And respectively, they only see other sheep except for themselves. And then you find subtle clues that are like, a lot of these sheep in your dreams you're meeting are people in the real world.
In the bar.
Who are all subsequently cheating on their spouse.
I was like, man, everybody's cheating on everybody.
Yeah, and it's kind of a over-the-top situation. Like, that's the part of the game that kind of, like, I'm in disbelief. Like, what? Everybody in this bar is cheating on their girlfriend or wife? But there are some subtle clues that lead to the fact that, like, yes, if you encourage this man in real life, he will climb the tower along with you, and you guys will hopefully make it to the top, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever.
Also, little things about the bar. when you talk with anybody, it takes time out of, and eventually it'll get super late and everyone will leave. Yeah. And that's the time you would leave the bar.
Yeah.
Also, you can spend this time drinking, which the more you drink, the faster your character will climb
within
the
tower. Do you really go faster?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So when you're sitting at the bar with your friends, you press square to drink.
Yeah.
And every time, I think it's like three times to finish a drink, you'll also get like a little trivia of whatever you're drinking. So the first time I was drinking a cocktail and they gave me like cocktail trivia.
Yeah.
The second time I was drinking brandy and they gave me some brandy trivia.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really like a little nice touch.
Yeah, like you
really
learned some interesting things, like sake has ash in it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And that's weird.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
The other thing about the bar is that there is an arcade game that you can play called Rapunzel.
Which is basically just the puzzle aspect of Catherine.
It is the nightmare world of Catherine, but it's way more puzzly.
And it's all 8-bit.
It's all, yeah. I'll give it 16-bit.
Oh, okay.
But it's really cool because think of it more, instead of like you're fighting for your life, you have power. And every push or pull of a block takes away one power. And you have a limited amount of power to figure out your way to the top of to Rapunzel's castle. And there's I think there's like over 60 levels in that arcade game.
Yeah.
Alone, so that's a pretty big chunk. And what else? Also in the bar, there is...
There's a jukebox.
There's the jukebox where you can change the music.
You basically listen to the soundtrack of the game.
There's also soundtracks from other Atlas games.
Oh, nice.
There was a song that I unlocked from Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that was really cool that they had it in the game. So you'll be getting soundtracks from other games as well.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So after this bar sequence, it's the third, beginning of the third night.
Mm.
And this is, I think this is where the game, like the regular puzzles really start to kick your ass.
Yeah. It's like, you've learned the basics, we're going to throw some tricky parts in your way.
It's like, no more Mr. Nice Guy, now let's play the real game. Let's do it. And these puzzles, you know, they throw other sheep in there that get in your way.
Yeah, the other sheep, while they're on a block, you can't go on that block.
Yeah.
You can push them down a block. You can push them off. Certain power-ups kill all enemies.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they introduce new types of block. I think in that one is where they introduce the trap block.
Yeah.
Which is basically, if you're not off that, as soon as you touch that block, you are dead.
Yeah, spikes come from the ground and kill you.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, these two are whatever. They're two, I believe, puzzle rooms like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get your next question before going to the boss.
You get a question after every level, so I think it'd be third and fourth question, yeah.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
My third question, we didn't say the second question, I forgot what mine was.
I don't remember
the
rest of the questions.
One of my questions was, are you a pervert, yes or no?
Oh, I got that
one,
too. And
then it said, be honest now.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I said yes.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, cool. I was playing with Melissa.
And you're like, no.
And Melissa's like, are you a pervert? I'm like, yep. But I'm going to pick no.
Why would you pick no?
Because I'm not. And a lot of...
What'd you pick, TJ?
I don't remember if I got that question.
Everybody picked... The majority was a pervert.
Yeah.
No, it was like half and half.
It was majority a little bit more. Pervert. It was like 55%.
Yeah. But anyone who buys the game is a pervert.
So I have to agree with that.
That's kind of... Whatever, okay, I'll leave that. So I'll leave it.
The statistics are
you're buying a game with a half-naked chick on the cover.
So what?
It's an anime half-naked chick, too.
So what?
I think it's kind of given. There's a man in between her cleavage. I mean, you can't really say...
I see no problem.
Yeah. I believe there was another question out there, too, that I got that was, what would you prefer your spouse's age to be, older or younger?
I never got that question.
I picked younger? Majority was older.
Oh, it actually says older or younger?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got a different question.
What else did I get? What was your question?
Something about if age matters. I put it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Also the interesting, this is the part of the game where I lost all my continues on the boss.
So the boss, torture chamber.
Yeah, torture
basically
chamber.
Basically a giant ass with limbs.
Yeah, that was weird. It was like...
I didn't understand that.
It was like the boss of lust or something.
Yeah.
But the boss was basically, if you looked at like, it was basically the underside of a girl.
Yeah.
And it was ass cheeks with arms. Legs, yeah. And then arms coming out the ass cheeks.
Yeah.
And then too, a right? mouth and a giant tongue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like two weird eyes on each ass cheek. Yeah, and then there's like a weird. Mouth on the side and like a nose here yeah. and like on her stomach. And it was really gross.
Yeah. And the thing about this boss is what they do to you is they reverse your controls.
Mm-hmm. If you when they attack you and you're way higher up than them,
yeah.
they'll shoot hearts.
Yeah.
And if the hearts land on you, it reverses your directional controls.
And I got so fucked up every time that happened.
Yes. Yes. Same. I was just like, God damn it.
I just ran off the edge. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to start over again.
The one thing I learned about that boss is it'll start hitting in like a row. So it'll be like two up, two down.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll start coming slowly towards you.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as a heart hits the block beside you, go over to that block.
Yes.
Because even though the pink stuff is still there,
mm-hmm.
as long as the heart doesn't drop on you while you're on that block, yes. then it doesn't affect you. So, or you can also use blocks mm-hmm. that are like above your head to block the yeah. incoming.
This is also the part of the game where like I start to get really annoyed because when the boss attacks, the camera zooms way out
mm-hmm. to show where the boss is.
But consequently, you can't see your character going on other blocks.
Can you control your character?
You can control, okay. because I died on a trap block, because I didn't realize it was a trap
block. Oh, okay.
And I thought, that was just so unfair.
Mm-hmm.
That's
pretty lame.
Yeah, it's like, I died because the camera decided to zoom out as I was in my groove finishing a puzzle. It's like, come on! But, did you guys have trouble with this boss? I had a lot of trouble with this boss. I didn't beat it, mostly beat it.
As I said, I lost all my continues.
Yeah.
And the last time I saved was at the fork boss.
Oh, shit.
So I went through that whole sequence again. And I learned that the chapel or the confessional booth questions, they're randomized.
Oh, that's nice.
So second time I went through it, I had two completely different questions than I had the first time I went through it.
Yeah.
I really got to write these questions down because eventually I want to take all the questions.
Okay.
We should do a segment of us answering all the questions on the podcast.
I think a question that we just had was after this level two, like you're going up, is who is more your type, Catherine or Catherine?
Oh. Wow, cool.
Yeah. I don't know which one won.
I picked Catherine with a C. I picked the blonde bombshell.
That's what I would have picked too.
Catherine with a K had 75%.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's because she's hotter.
I think... No one likes the blonde bombshell.
I think from forums and stuff, everyone just finds her annoying as shit.
I think she's a lot more attractive to look at than Catherine with a K.
She is very nice to look at.
I think I'd have more fun with her.
I think she's nicer to look at because you have seen her naked. And you constantly see her naked.
Yes. No, you don't.
Yes.
A couple times.
She wakes up in your bed every morning. Yes.
Not every morning. Yeah. I only remember two.
Which, yeah. There were only two mornings so far.
Yeah.
Every morning.
All right, okay.
So then we move into the third day, and this is where Catherine tells you, or Catherine the K, you meet up at the...
Chrono Rabbit.
And she says, I'm late.
Oh. And at first Vincent's like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then she's like, I think I might be pregnant. And then just the look of dread on his face is yes. the best thing.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And then, to add... more, you hear the voice of Catherine, the
with
other
C.
And she's just like in there. And then they say, oh, I'd love to sit in the smoking section. And Catherine the K is like, Vince asks his girlfriend, is this a smoking section? Of course it is.
And he's just like, oh God, I gotta go to the bathroom real yeah. bad. Oh God, oh man.
So wait,
no, and she's
and
like,
yours?
You really should stop smoking.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't call you to ask where you were in yours?
Oh, yeah, she did.
Oh, she calls first.
Yeah, she does
ask
call.
Where you are.
Oh.
I kind of blew her off, though. I didn't tell her. Oh, no, wait, no, you don't get to choose in that one. Oops.
No.
No, that was just a cutscene one, and he's like, oh, crap, I can't talk to Catherine while I'm with Catherine.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But then, after that, you go to the bar, you do your normal thing.
What do you guys think about the characters at the bar? Like, who do you constantly talk with?
His three buddies.
And that's it? You don't talk to any of the other people?
Whoever's
talk to everybody in the bar that's available.
Yeah.
Same.
There's
the two, like, twin old ladies.
Which I absolutely hate.
Like, what are they?
I don't know.
Who are they?
Are they pointless? Like,
I don't know. Maybe they're, like, foreshadowing or something.
Yeah. Oh.
Eventually more people come to the bar.
Yeah, a police officer.
Oh, you got a police officer?
I got a police officer, yeah.
I didn't. I got some rich kid.
I got the rich kid.
I got a couple.
I didn't get that.
I got the.
I got a couple.
I got the doctor.
I saw the couple. I didn't talk to
the ex journalist.
I got that too.
That guy's always there. He's just drinking his life away.
I love talking to the barman
boss.
Yeah,
he's pretty sick. Who else? He always steals lines from like other famous quotes and stuff.
Erica as well. I always talk to her.
Yeah, Erica.
She's always a joy to talk to.
Okay, what do you guys think about the three friends? There's Toby.
Toby, Johnny, and Orlando.
And Johnny and Orlando.
Johnny's the leader. Toby's the young kid. Orlando has a fedora.
Yeah.
They're all pretty cool. They sound like a cool little bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
So, also in their personalities, Orlando, fedora, he has been married before. But he recently got divorced. So, he's kind of got like a bitter taste towards women, and he only wants like one night stands or whatever. Toby, he's still super young. So it seems like he's still in like the crush stage. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's just like he's not really looking. He's just looking for a girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then Johnny, he's he hasn't been married, but he doesn't. He's not fully 100% committed to any girl he doesn't think is his soulmate.
Yeah.
So right now he is going out with someone, mm-hmm. but he's told straight up to his girlfriend that I don't want to marry you.
Yeah.
So. They're like three really different relationship dynamics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's really cool when you talk with each person, and so far during the night when you talk to them, one person will leave, and the rest of the group will talk about that person who left, like try to get more personal details on him and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's never happened to me.
Like, Orlando was like, I gotta use the bathroom, and then Toby asked about Orlando's previous marriage.
Oh, really? And stuff. I got another one where Johnny left, and
that's the second day. Yeah. And they ask about Chief. He's like, what's wrong with Chief? Like, he's never...
Oh, I got that one,
Like, who's his girlfriend? It's like, blah, blah, blah. But, and this leads to the end of the night. And I want to know, did you guys get drunk at the bar?
I only got drunk on the second night. So I haven't really been able to use...
Because I didn't get drunk at this time. But Vincent goes home and he just drinks his sorrows away.
Yeah. That was crazy. I was like, man, you're an alcoholic. Yeah. I drank two drinks. You can drink a maximum of three drinks to get the full effect out of your drunkenness to climb faster in the tower. I only had two.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to talk with the rest of the people and get more texts from Catherine.
Catherine.
Yeah. Oh, interesting thing happened also during the first day. The first day you get to fully be in the bar. Yeah. And before, and when Catherine wants to tell you eventually that she's pregnant tomorrow, remember how I said I lost my save?
Yeah.
The first time I went through it, she only texted me once, and I answered her back once, and that was it. That's the only text I got from Catherine the K.
Wow.
But during my second time I went through it, Catherine the K, she texted me three times and called me once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And so it was really weird. Like, I don't know if maybe I chose something different by accident or... It was really different experiences, and it was really cool so that game has like a lot of replay value from what I've seen.
Yeah. But I think after that sequence of getting drunk, and it starts the fourth night, and that's where we end the first part of this game.
Club, mm-hmm. Right? We finished the first level.
Yeah, I don't think we need to talk about it though. It's just another puzzle.
It's another puzzle.
Yeah, you kind of have to finish it to get to a save point. But other than that,
you guys can save in the bar. You know that, right?
Yeah,
with the cell phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I figured like. Because the third night doesn't technically end until the first thing begins.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so that's where we stopped. Next week we'll be going through days 4 through 6,
mm-hmm.
which are actually quite longer.
So I've heard. I've heard that each chapter gets progressively longer.
Yes. So I'm sure it'll still be around the same 3-hour mark for me, though. With easy, so
and Melissa doing all your boss fights,
right? So it won't be too much a problem for me. I won't be frustrated.
Okay, I'll be texting you with like motherfucking boss keeps killing me. I don't want to go back to easy.
Yeah. Yep. So
just wait, level 4.
If you're playing along with us, definitely write into us and tell us your opinions on Catherine. I think unanimously we all enjoy the game.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's definitely a cool game. Big surprise. I didn't think I'd like it this much, but
I thought this would be a game where I've been, this is like one of the few games I've actually been excited for recently.
Yeah.
And I thought I would have been like hyped it up so much in my head that it's just like, it would let me down. But so far, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a really good game. But yeah, so that's it. We'll see you guys next week after the regular show.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be talking more with Catherine, chapters 4 through 6. Stay tuned till then. We'll be right back. We'll go in 5 seconds.
Five.
Three, dos, uno. Hey, boys and girls, this is Three Nerds in a Basement, episode 33. I gotta start again. I forgot where I was going with this.
Well.
What?